gentlemen, boys and girls, companions and gang, welcome to the Lonely TARDIS Season 2, Episode 2, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual is one Sean Norton.
Hello.
And the other one, Steven Strom.
I'm back from the time vortex, guys. I know I was lost in the last episode, but I made it out. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good podcast host down. Not even lost in space and time and shit.
Nope.
As verbose as ever. Welcome back, Steven.
Steven's the kind of guy that takes about four paragraphs to answer once, like two words.
No, that was all just one sentence, just strung together with commas and semicolons and super commas.
Super commas.
That's a thing. Ryan told me that's a thing.
Fuck, goddamn Ryan. Anyways, it's the Lonely TARDIS. An awesome episode we have planned for today, revolving around dinosaurs on a spaceship, the Doctor Who episode that just aired a couple days ago on BBC. It is the second episode of Series 7, or as we in the U.S. call it, Season 7. You know, let me just do a quick rundown, or I guess you could say a recap. There isn't much Doctor Who news floating around at the moment because everything is focused on the season at hand.
And we were kind of MIA when all the news was coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And we were totally MIA.
All the set photos and all the what could be going on. And we're all like, maybe we should do a podcast this week, guys. And they're all like, no, life gets in the way and nobody can find Steven and we're all busy and stuff. And yeah. But we can golly, about that rundown.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking we could do is we could record episodes, like record them tomorrow and then set them in the past so that if anybody's updating it for the first time, they're going back and listening to our episodes from, like, I don't know, July or last April or something. They'll say, oh, yeah, these guys were on top of things.
I love that idea. Do you know why I love that idea?
Why?
Because it's a little bit of a wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey idea is what
boom.
It is.
Boom. He said it. That's okay.
Is that a record for me? Because I feel like that's in the first, 3 minutes?
It's within the first 3 minutes, yes. I believe you have now officially gotten that record.
Probably more like the first 45 seconds.
Could be. We're going to skip the news and kind of get right into dinosaurs on a spaceship. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the next episode, which is a town called Mercy. And then kind of our theories and our ideas about where the season arc is going. Sean had a good idea. We commit now and see who's right later on. So I think that's going to be
a... What are the stakes? Are we putting up
stakes?
Kind of cheddar.
Stakes are the stakes.
Stakes? Oh, I would put some stakes up for stakes.
Stakes up for? I like stakes up for stakes.
Yeah, what
Sean,
could possibly
would you,
go
will
wrong
you stake
with
a stake
us?
Down as a stake?
What? Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll put a stake in as my stake in these stakes.
It'll be either at
right,
PAX.
Stakes.
Yeah, either at PAX East or E3 next year. Stakes for the loser. Here's the
yeah. Until Steven doesn't show up, and then we're eating his steak.
Exactly.
Although
exactly.
He's going to buy us steaks anyway, so it doesn't
That's
matter.
True.
You're right. Good point.
That's true.
I will mail you steak through the TARDIS network.
Maybe
through the mail.
I don't want your weird mail steak.
Wait, what's wrong? I come from the land of steak. This is where we make steak.
Comes from the
this
land
where
of
steak,
steak.
This is where steak is bred and baked.
Yeah, but
and
then you'll
make
it and bake it and then mail it, and it just won't be as good.
Okay.
Now, if you're inviting me out to have steak, we could talk about that.
Sean, the thing about steak is you can't fake it. You got to put stake your steak, and you got to make that steak stick so that you can send it through the mail and stake your steak down when you have steaks up for steak. All I'm trying to say.
It's a lot at stake in that sentence.
Oh man, goodness. Yeah, stop staking your claims.
How about
right
this?
Now,
how about we figure out if we're all actually on a different page before we start talking about what kind of stakes are going to be at play.
Because
for all
idea.
We know, we're all going to say the same exact thing, and then we're all just going to
buy each other steaks.
Buy each other steaks.
Yeah.
Let's that circle back to this. Good. Dolly, what happened in this week's episode?
Let's talk about this week's episode, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, which, you know, I've been saying it's my favorite title, but you guys have maybe convinced me that Let's Kill Hitler might have been the better title. But so far, I do have to say, and just based on the marketing, Sean, you and I talked about this last week, the marketing that they're utilizing for this season so far is kind of like these almost like one-off movie poster, bullet point type of thing, so that I'm assuming the titles are going to be really interesting. The font that they've been using in each episode, I don't know if you guys have noticed, these first two episodes has been different to reflect the kind of the theme, which they'd never really done before.
Yeah, they're changing the intro every week.
Yeah, and I do like it's very Simpsons-esque, Futurama-ish.
Okay, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I see what I did there. And so, I just wanted to point that out. This week it was a kind of a reptilian scaly font because the episode was Dinosaurs in a Spaceship deals with reptiles and dinosaurs, which we all know are warm-blooded dinosaurs, but reptiles are not, on a spaceship. So the way the kind of the plot of this episode is the doctor who's, you know, hanging around with Queen Nefertiti back in, ancient Egypt, just kind of bumming around. Of course, she obviously speaks crystal clear English, although that could be the TARDIS helping out there. But
it's always the TARDIS helping out. Why would you even bring that up? This is like one of the most accepted things. We do a podcast about this, Dally.
Yeah, sure. We did do a whole podcast talking about that. He receives a call from the Indian Space Agency in the future. I think it was like the 2300s or something.
Yes.
That there is a huge spaceship about to crash into the Earth in 6 hours. Well, maybe it's more like 3,406 hours, but it's 6 hours their time. So they need the doctor to help try to figure out what's wrong with it. So, he's like, hey, Nefertiti, come along with me. We're going to make a stop over in, the African plains at the turn of the turn of the century, 1902, and pick up a famous explorer, John Riddle. So they pick up John Riddle. Then they stop by and grab Amy and Rory, and I guess their time frame is like 10 months have happened since Asylum of the Daleks. So
sure has.
Yeah.
They
so
grab more than just Amy and Rory, though.
That's true. They do. They grab Rory's father. Well, not in that way, but kind of in that way. Because
the doctor's always grabbing people he shouldn't be
as
grabbing.
As he materializes.
Things don't need to be grabbed. That's all I'm saying. Nefertiti, you know, right at the
you
beginning.
Know, it's probably just a coincidence that this is the week Stephen's back. But, you know, it makes me think that as much as we give the Doctor Who show a lot of praise for, you know, being geared towards kids, but really great for adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clear that our podcast is just for adults and never anybody else.
Never anybody else. It's adults who have a lot of patience willing to handle Stephen's tangents.
Speaking of which, though, like this episode of Doctor Who had a lot way more innuendo, like sexual innuendo in it than majority of episodes.
Most episodes kind of talk about
you know, sex in general, that kind of thing. But, very loosely.
We'll get to that. Let me kind of finish off the plot here. So,
hey, don't jump ahead, Steve.
Yeah, jump ahead, Steve.
I know you haven't been around. It's been a long time, but take your time. We're going to get there.
Yeah, sorry, I just can't pace myself. When I'm grabbing my stuff, like, I get so excited, and I just can't hold it.
You can't hold it in for very long. You shoot your Doctor Who load too quickly.
Yeah, when I'm grabbing
my
stuff. When I grab my steak, and I lay my meat down and I stake it and I lay my stakes.
Tali, so when they form their little gang, which the doctor's very proud of, he even says it never done a gang before, and he does the little fist pump thing. It's just a nice touch. Then what happens?
So just to briefly wind it back a second, he went to go pick up Amy and Rory, inadvertently gets Rory's father, who is over helping them fix a light bulb. So because the TARDIS materializes around them, all three of them are sucked in. So there's six of the crew right now, right? So we have the Doctor, Nefertiti, we have John Riddle, we have Amy, Rory, and Rory's dad. So it's definitely a gang, yeah. But you're right; he makes that point. So they land on this spaceship, which is kind of this big giant star cluster thing.
Sort of reminded me of like the black mass from The Fifth Element, the thing that was about to crash into the Earth. Just the whole common plot to the whole thing, and as well as kind of the shape of the ship.
And so they land on a spaceship and find out that it's populated by dinosaurs. Dinosaurs all over the place. I mean, there's everything from T-Rexes to Triceratops, which, by the way, fact check, Torosaurus. It was proven recently that there's no such thing as a Triceratops. Triceratops are actually baby Torosauruses. So, sorry, Doctor Who, Torosaurus, not Triceratops.
What do you know? I did not know that.
Like I said in the past, I was going to be a paleontologist.
You have mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
That's fantastic. Not only did I learn on the show without realizing it, but our podcast taught me something.
The
and we can now officially put
an
educational tag on iTunes.
That's true. This is a school book happening right now.
Life finds a way, Dally.
Exactly. And so, they're trying to find out what happened to all these dinosaurs. Why did they get here? Who's manning this ship? They come to find out that it's a Silurian arc. You guys remember the Silurians from last season, especially? They showed the reptilian Silurians.
I don't, Dolly. Which ones are the Silurians?
The Silurians are the kind of reptilian. I think they were called the Homo reptilian was their actual name. And they've been around for...
Reptilius, I think.
Yeah, whatever. They've been around for millions of years. They're humanoid in nature, obviously scaly skin. They've kind of waged a secret battle versus humans, but the ark that they had built was designed to rescue them and the dinosaurs and send them, whisk them away to freedom for the oncoming meteor that was we all knew was going to be hitting Earth 65 million years ago. So they,
which is also the Doctor's fault.
Also the Doctor's fault. So they escaped this planet inadvertently several millennia later. The asteroid, their ship comes careening back towards Earth, and now is about to do the same exact thing that they were trying to avoid. However, here's the twist: there are no Silurians alive on this ship. So, why did that happen? Why did the Silurians go extinct, but the dinosaurs are still alive? After some digging, they come to find out, the Doctor actually finds out that after getting essentially captured by two, which I thought were really extremely funny robots, and at one point he calls them the Tantrum Bots because they kept throwing tantrums. Really nicely written robots, by the way. Great lines.
Felt slightly Neil Gaiman-ish.
Yes. Yeah. Although he didn't write this episode, he is writing one later on in the year. That was revealed. Anyway, so they
no news. By the way,
no yeah, news.
Sure.
By the way,
sorry, guys.
Breaking. They come to find the robots essentially take them to meet Solomon, who is this guy who's been injured, kind of manning the ship. Dinosaurs to him are he's almost like a futuristic safari hunter, I guess you could say. He's a collector type of person, essentially kind
he's
of
like
a black
market trader.
Yeah, he's a black market trader. He raided the ship, killed all the Silurians. They all come to find this out in the span of like 2 minutes of the Doctor prying, and want to steal the dinosaurs. And so, he ends up healing. Doctor ends up healing Solomon, and Solomon kind of turns on the Doctor, sends the robots after him. The Doctor escapes with Rory and Rory's dad riding on the back of a Torosaurus. Getting cornered, Solomon reveals that, hey, you have a bigger prize than these dinosaurs. You have Queen Nefertiti. Ends up trying to kidnap Queen Nefertiti. Obviously, the Doctor always has a plan, rescues the Queen. Changes the trajectory of the ship asteroid thing to away from Earth, rescues everybody, and it's all a happy ending. Then the Doctor drops the pawns back off at their house, and we go from there. So the one interesting thing though is at the very end, Amy and Rory are looking on this wall. Rory's dad, who was really kind of shy about traveling, has been sending them postcards now, taking a look at every place that he's been around the world. So kind of a cool little nod there. But so that's kind of the basic plot. I don't want to give too much, even though I kind of gave away everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, I hope.
So maybe just
let everybody
die. 10 minutes.
Yeah, I hope you don't go into too much detail. I hope I hope you leave some stuff for people to watch on their own. Oh,
right,
wait
right.
a minute.
I really hope that this 90% of this podcast won't be just you talking about the plot.
So here's the other 10% of the podcast. What are your thoughts? Let's start with you, Sean, because Steven's going to take a while. Actually, you know what? Let's start with Steven, because it's his first time back on the show. I feel more comfortable letting the little guy go first.
Mm-hmm.
It's his big day.
It's his big day. He's got his daddy pants on now.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. So immediate thoughts are I definitely liked it better than Asylum of the Daleks, which I thought was sort of a little bit too manic. And it was, we got Stephen Moffat in his full-on Philip K. Dick amphetamine mode in the last episode before that. And this one is a little bit more measured. It's, it's definitely an action-y episode. They kind of always take this route in the second second and third episodes, is they always take more of a sort of action adventure sort of route. So there's no super huge surprises there. It was nice to see the Silurians come back, I thought. I mean, what do you guys think of the Silurians? I mean, generally, I like them. I like that they use a villain from a lesser known villain from species from the old series.
No, I agree. I like the Silurians. I'm glad that they've started to bring them back. I actually thought that. I was kind of bummed that we didn't actually meet any Silurians within the entire episode, except for on camera. But I love that whole kind of dichotomy or the irony of them trying to escape Earth leads them back to destroy it. I thought that was actually really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been nice to see them, but the weight of when we eventually find out what happens, I feel is so much heavier and so much more of a punch to the gut. When I don't know, I just that whole reveal I thought was really well done, and it really cemented him as the kind of villain we haven't gotten a lot on Doctor Who recently. So,
which I thought was kind of upsetting that they kind of do away with him at the end of the episode, because I thought Solomon was actually an interesting kind of character. Doctor Who isn't exactly well known for its faced character. Like a lot of most of its villains and such are faceless and sort of like large armies or a monster, big giant monster. There's not a lot of mostly human villains that kind of stick around for any length of time, and they usually end up killing them off. And that was the thing that they kind of had in the old series that they don't have so much anymore. You had the Black Guardian and Syl, I think, is another one if I'm getting the name right there.
Well, the Master was around a few times.
The Master, definitely, but they're few and far between, and I was a little bit upset that they killed him off immediately. Actually, from the previews, I actually thought that I thought Solomon was a different person entirely. I thought it was the guy he played Electro Chess with in the last season, but I was wrong about that. It certainly seems. So I thought he was going to. So I was actually more excited coming in, thinking that they had a faced villain that they were going to keep recurring and whatnot. But in typical Doctor Who fashion, the Doctor does away with him at the end, which I thought was also a little bit odd. Maybe not odd so much as it ties back into the whole the Doctor being more of a villain than he necessarily wants to admit. Talking very early on, he very specifically says he likes Indira, the Indian Space Agency sort of captain or whatever, up until she says missiles. And then at the end, he has no qualms about using those very same missiles that they fire to kill Solomon. And so I thought, if that was meant to be intentional, I mean, we definitely saw in Asylum of the Daleks that the Doctor, in the intervening time between the first season and this, or from between last season and this season, has gotten maybe a little bit darker.
Well, something's going on for sure.
Yeah, definitely something psychological is going on with the Doctor anyway.
Well, you kind of mentioned that Doctor's been getting a little darker. I think this episode was actually fairly dark. You guys mentioned it was kind of, there's some adult tones, but this whole idea of death and kind of
genocide.
Mass genocide,
you
really extinction.
Used the term genocide.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot darker episode than it lets on. I mean, you think that, I mean, the name Dinosaurs on a Spaceship seems kind of fun and bubbly, but yeah, this is definitely a kind of darker, more thought-provoking episode, I think. And by the end of it, I realized, wow, there was a lot, they touched on a lot of things. These first two episodes have definitely done a few different things that we didn't see in previous Doctor Who series, in that not only are they kind of a completely encapsulated episode, but there's so much going on and so many threads going on. Obviously, a family. You had that scene at the very end with, or towards the end, where Brian's kind of hanging out. Rory's dad is hanging out the TARDIS because he wants to see Earth, and he's just kind of sipping a coffee and eating a donut or
sandwich,
a sandwich or something, a crumpet, crumpet. Amy and Rory are kind of hanging over him and almost, glowing in that moment. Then you see Doctor's head pop out and he sees them and he sees Brian and his face just turns almost white, almost like that. He knows something's going to happen down the line.
Sorry.
It's just
I just feel like we're jumping all over the place. Oh, well, here. We're it, like, we're at the end and there's so much in the middle. But yeah,
I
no,
know,
I guess
I
that's
just
definitely the biggest takeaway, Dolly. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
that's
I definitely, I mean,
huge.
To me, it
it's
just
so
came
huge
off.
for all the foreshadowing, and it's I feel like it's really going to tie into pretty much all of our predictions
But
moving forward.
I you know, I mean, Steve, any other thoughts on the episode?
Hold on, my phone was just going off, and it was really loud. I'm sure you could hear it.
You are so unprofessional. Dolly,
yeah.
You and I are going to have a chat about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get one episode without me, and you're suddenly all high and mighty again, aren't you, Sean? You're all, I'm in charge of this. I'm running this TARDIS. We don't need eight people. We just need me. Yeah, no. No, Stephen, it will. Stephen Strum's here to stand against you, Sean Norton. Anyway, yeah, thoughts about the episode. Like you said, Dolly, it's a lot darker. Well, I mean, it deals with a lot of darker themes. I think that's something that Doctor Who does kind of constantly, is it sort of blends levity and tragedy really, you know, on a real back and forth level. And you can kind of, in that, from that perspective, I think this episode kind of upholds that tradition pretty well, because it, all of the sort of dark and horrible stuff that happens throughout the episode is all brought about by the Doctor and by the science and the futuristic stuff like that. Whereas everything good and sort of funny and happy is brought about by the regular human elements, like Brian, Rory's dad, and Amy, and Rory himself. Everything that happens with them is, you know, usually pretty funny. But then you get to like you said, the tantrum bots, and suddenly they're, you know, they're big goofy kind of goons throughout the whole episode. But then towards the end, you find out that they were the ones who actually, you know, committed the genocide, and then they murdered the what did you say, Torontosaurus? Torontosaur? Dally?
This isn't a dinosaur from, sorry, I had it muted. This isn't a dinosaur from Canada.
Great. No, who's unprofessional.
He scared him off.
Torontosaurus. There's a maple leaf dinosaur in there. He plays hockey.
Yeah, Torontosaurus. Yeah, they kill the Quebecosaurus and...
the Nordicosaurus?
Hmm?
Sorry, continue.
Mm-hmm. Mute your microphone again, Domovsky. Just let the men talk. They pretty well embody the sort of really dark and messed up stuff, blending in with the sort of weird and quirkiness of the show, and the back and forth on them, especially towards the end when they actually get taken out, with him just taking them out in sort of one swing, and then them both quoting 2001 A Space Odyssey simultaneously. I like, you know, I love stuff like that. Just this sort of weird blend of themes that goes on in Doctor Who, and I think that's part of what I love about Doctor Who. I don't think the episode is particularly, you know, groundbreaking or breathtaking or anything like that. I don't think it's, you know, hugely important to the canonicity or, you know, to the canon or anything like that. But it was an incredibly fun episode that kind of upholds a lot of, you know, classic Doctor Who traditions, and I think, like I said, I think it's a improvement over the last episode, which did not impress me a whole lot. So, Sean, what were your thoughts?
well, glad you asked. I have a couple.
Do you?
First of all, what do you got against the Daleks? Well, you got to get Asylum of the Daleks. Why you got to hate on the episode? Dolly and I liked the episode. We thought it was really well done. It was a great start to the season. Why you got to hate on the Dalek episode, Steve? Come on. Come on.
There's two Steve. Okay, so there's two Stephen Moffats. We've got Rod Serling Stephen Moffat, who sits in his like study sipping brandy and stuff like that, and really taking his time and to come up with like one great idea, and sort of, you know, taking that really slowly and gently and moving it forward and telling a really fun story like that, like Blink, like, you know, that sort of thing. Then there's like Philip K. Dick Stephen Moffat, who's just like fucking doing amphetamines and throwing every fucking idea that he can possibly come up with into this pot all at the same time, and expecting everybody to get it to make it, the production team to make it work in 50 minutes. And I think Asylum of the Daleks is one of those type of episodes where he's just like throwing idea after idea after idea after idea without giving any of them time to sink in. And while those individual ideas might be pretty good by themselves. He just doesn't give them any time to sort of ruminate, like the humanized Daleks, or the Dalekized humans, I guess. It was a really, you know, great and dark moment, and I think an entire episode about them would have been great. But it's them, and then the Asylum of the Daleks, where, you know, where suddenly we see these, you know, it's supposed to be the worst of the worst of the worst of the Daleks in
guys,
the galaxy.
Guys. Speaking of Daleks, where I'm getting a transmission right now.
Oh no! Oh
no! No, you're not.
What
no,
is this?
Not.
What?
No, no.
What is this? Hold on, let me. Who? Hello? Hello? Who is this? Who is this?
It's Dalek Boar.
Oh, Dalek Boar, Dalek Boar. How's it going, Dalek Boar? What did you think of this week's episode?
I enjoyed this episode very much.
You did? I mean, can you just tell me a little bit, you know, why you enjoyed this week's episode? Obviously, you weren't in it, but what turned you on?
There were many family themes throughout the episode.
Family? Did you guys see any family themes throughout the episode? Well, maybe there was towards the end.
I mean, his dad. Sure.
Yeah. Are you talking about you know, the family, Amy, Rory, and Rory's dad? Yeah, Rory's dad, Brian. Is that what you're talking about?
Genocide, mass murder, destruction of Earth. Everything was great.
Okay, I guess the family themes are a little bit different for the Daleks. I mean, but
yeah, those are not great family themes for human beings.
Yeah,
I think.
I guess so, but I mean, aren't you guys still a little bit mad at the Doctor? I mean, the Doctor kind of put you guys in your place. Aren't you still mad?
Doctor who?
The Doctor. Okay. Yeah, the Doctor. You guys know
Sean,
the Doctor, right?
Sean, we got to do something.
Doctor
let's
who?
We got to put up a time barrier here. We need to stop this. We need to block the transmission.
It's the Doctor, Dalek Boar. I mean, you know the Doctor, your arch nemesis.
Doctor who?
Okay.
I think
we've lost the transmission. Oh, Sean and I have put up a barrier through time and space. And now Dalek Boar can never,
bitches.
Ever talk to us again.
I'm going off to murder more dinosaurs.
Bitch.
Oh my lord, guys! I guess he's gone. The transmission has ended.
Holy cow! Did that go on way too long? Oh man!
You know, when the Daleks come calling, we gotta continue on with their.
Yeah, you know, most podcasts, you know, and most shows in general, they have some growing pains. They do some things, and then they, you know, they move on. They evolve. I'm really glad that we don't.
We missed that episode of the
Oh, yeah. Right. Well,
that was the one we missed.
Wow.
That was the one we skipped.
Okay. And let's not even talk about the fact that we didn't have a Dalek transmission last week when there was an entire episode about Daleks.
I think they were delayed.
Yeah. Well, you see, we record these episodes out of order because our time, we all three of us live on different time zones and whatnot, so we have to record these episodes out of order and then put them together, you know, afterwards. So, like, you know, the time travel really does mix this thing up. You
all
know?
Right. Well, yeah. So,
anyways, continue with
trying,
the yeah.
Trying so hard to get this derailed ship back on track. Steve, that's actually pretty neat. I'm glad that managed to get you to bring in Europe. I know we missed you last week, so to get your thoughts on last week's episode, mm-hmm. like that is pretty good. I disagree on some of your points. I agree on some others. But for those of you that want to hear Dolly and I talk about that for, you know, a decent amount of time, feel free to download our previous episode to this one, Season 7, Episode 1.
Five-star episode, I might say, on iTunes right now. Five-star.
Out of how many reviews, Dolly?
Who cares? So anyway.
So five stars. That's all that matters.
So, yeah, so I guess, Steven, you would agree that the stakes were a little bit higher this week.
Oh.
And
Oh, stakes everywhere.
You know, because dinosaurs make everything better, right? Everybody wants dinosaurs. Everybody wants dinosaurs to be involved in everything. Everybody loves dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs.
Yeah, life finds a way to bring dinosaurs into my episode, Doctor Who.
So, yes, so... You know, I think we're in agreement that it was a fun romp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you're just on it with the puns today.
Yeah. I think
It makes them really a lot better when you point them out like that and then, you know, like stop the entire sentence.
Oh, Steven.
So I think that from the get-go, it was... I lost my whole train of thought here. Damn it, Steven. All right, so let's start over. So, things I liked. Just going to do this kind of bullet point style. Things I liked. Rory's dad bullet points. Was fantastic.
Yes.
I thought he did a great job. I liked, because we talked about this a little bit last week, Dolly. We weren't sure how they were going to keep getting the pawns around, right?
Sure, right.
And he's like, I need a gang. And that's it. That's all he needs. He's like, I want the pawns. They're needed on this adventure. Boom, going to go get them. And he does. And he, in true 11th Doctor fashion, materializes all over them, doesn't realize that. Or all around them, I'm sorry. Sorry, Steven, don't say anything. Materializes the TARDIS around them.
Materializes all over everybody.
Then you know, he doesn't even realize he's there. And then he thinks that he's been, you know...
Or does he?
Snuck aboard, and he doesn't know what's going on, and whatever. And I thought that was a nice touch, and it's kind of a callback to season 5, where he doesn't realize it.
I want to ask you about that, Sean. Quick, is do you think he didn't know what he was doing, or do you think he actually did know what he was doing? Like, I kind of got almost the impression that that was his plan the whole time, like that he intentionally grabbed Brian and was just, you know, sort of playing along to make it look like he didn't know what he was doing, so that, you know, Rory wouldn't be angry and whatnot.
I mean, I didn't get the vibe. It's entirely possible, I guess. Anything's possible on this show. I'm more inclined that it's a throwback to season 5, where, you know, Rory comes back to life and the Doctor's trying to figure out how to fight around the Pandorica and then realizes Rory's standing right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a play on the humor of the kind of the 11th Doctor's mind going so fast and being so smart, but yet being completely oblivious to what's right in front of him.
I just feel like this is going to – that Brian is going to play a role later on in the series, sort of like
– Sure.
Sort of like Walt. Was it named Walt?
But I think he can still play a role in it just being an accident. But we'll see. You know, for all I know, he'll come around in episode 5 and be like, yeah, it wasn't an accident that I picked up your dad, if you know what I mean. And it's just like,
I just got like a Donna Noble's – grandfather kind of vibe from the whole thing. Like, he's going to come back and play a more important role later on.
Well, is he in next week's episode? I read somewhere he'll be in next week's episode, but I could be wrong with that. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I thought that was brilliant. I love the dynamic between Rory and his dad. I thought they played that brilliantly. Obviously, all the actors continue to be on, you know, on point and doing a fantastic job. So I like that a lot. I like that Amy kind of came into her own at this point, and when they got split up with the teleporter accident, always a teleporter accident, by the way. So when they got split up with the teleporter accident, I thought it was really cool that Amy basically did like a Dr. Light version, and it's like, you just push buttons. You learn when you travel with the Doctor, you just push buttons. And Nefertiti and Hunter stereotype guy, I forget his name.
Riddle, the walking innuendo.
You know, they kind of let her take charge, and she did a great job, and she figured out who the ship belonged to. She figured out kind of what was going on. I thought she was really great. It was a nice kind of twist on, you know, you travel with the Doctor for us 2 years, for them however long it is. You would hope that you kind of grow into this person who can handle these things when he gets separated from you, because it's almost assuredly that he'll get separated at some point or another, right? So I thought that was cool. I thought the dinosaurs looked fantastic for the most part, given just that the BBC has to work with BBCGI. I thought it was pretty great.
Is that a thing?
You know,
CGI?
That's what I call it. Yeah, every time I watch it.
I like
it,
that.
So they've had BBC did a lot of dinosaur related TV series. I wonder if they actually use some of those same models in
Walking with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, Walking with Dinosaurs and so forth. Yeah,
it's possible. I mean, but some of them looked fantastic. I mean, when it got shot and when he was, I mean, the riding it, I could have taken or left. You know, left. Obviously, that was in there for the kids and a bit more of a fun.
Yeah, it felt kind of awkward, didn't it?
You know, well,
and felt awkward when they all just kind of like, oh, well, now it's going to stop running, but it's going to be sudden, so let's pretend we all get thrown off. Oh, we all just kind of fall awkwardly to the side.
Meanwhile, they're all moving at 2 miles an hour, and then the stormtrooper bots behind them can't hit them.
Are
the
even
dam.
Slower, but they were even slower, the stormtrooper bots. They could hardly
walk. They're still firing a million shots and hitting everything except them.
But they they said that they had been on the ship for 2 millennia, and they definitely used to be faster. So I can totally forgive the fact that they're storm bots. Maybe they're
sure. I think that's a comedic point as well, just because they're.
I thought the, as I'm going to get to in a second, I thought that they did a great job with comedy bots too. I thought that was really good. I found it very interesting that the villain was so dark.
Yeah, he was, yep.
Given that this was, a little, for the most part, a pretty lighthearted episode. And then you've got Solomon coming in there and making really, really creepy comments about, you know, Nefertiti.
Yeah.
Nephi, what the doctor called him?
And committing genocide and just all this crazy stuff. Murdering a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, I guess murdering a dinosaur is kind of the light end of that spectrum. But still, it was pretty intense stuff.
You know what? I to kind of jump off your
yes.
ideas and into mine, I agree with you. He came off very creepy, but in an almost awesome kind of way. Like, I'm if this is the last time we see him, I'd actually be pretty sad that this was the last of it, because he seemed like a really interesting villain. He seemed like a really nice adversary, this black market dealer who just wanted to get ahead, you know, any way he could. So, you know,
he's so, murder he's so dinosaurs. Normal.
Yeah, he's very human. He's very normal. He just has, you know, human-made robots around him. There's no special powers to him.
Yeah, but, yeah. And his, like, motivations are so normal. Yeah. He's just greedy and shit. And, like, the... Yeah, and...
It's almost... it's very believable, right? Yeah. I mean, you kind of think in the future...
as weird as that sounds.
As weird as it sounds. You think in the future, they're, you know, when their spaceship, there's going to be people who are black market dealers. This is going to be one of them. He's going to do anything he can to get money in it. So, yeah, it was definitely kind of, you know, somewhat believable. But I found that one scene where the doctor is trying to repair the kind of the flight control area, and Amy's there helping him out, and he has his hand kind of stuck in the device, and they're having this kind of deep conversation about you know, their future, and how I think I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was something akin to the point where you're not always going to be there, and you're just going to have to let go.
Oh, when he was figuring out how to get the missiles.
Yes.
Off the, oh man.
And that's just that. There were some that scene, and then that kind of final those final couple scenes with Brian hanging off the TARDIS, and you know, the postcards, I think are just massive foreshadowing. We'll get into that shortly, but I really enjoyed those kinds of touches. I actually really enjoyed that scene with Brian hanging out of the TARDIS, because I thought that was beautiful. You know, it was actually a beautiful scene. I think if any of us are in that kind of situation with the TARDIS floating above the Earth somewhere, to see that, I mean, the way that scene was shot was almost made the Earth look kind of awe-inspiring. The cinematography of that scene was great.
And then you had that juxtaposed against, like, this guy doing this normal thing. He looks like construction worker sitting on a girder.
Oh, yeah, you know? Totally. It was just beautifully shot. Overall, I really enjoyed the episode. Me being a dinosaur nut, you know, a wannabe paleontologist in a past life, loved the references. There was a lot of things they did right, I think, story-wise. I loved that it was darker. It wasn't spooky dark like some of the – there were a couple episodes last season with kind of the whole ghost thing. But
am I the only one that was caught off guard by how dark it was?
Yeah, I was too. I didn't think – I thought it was going to be much more fun, but it definitely seems to – and I guess we can hop into this now, but it definitely seems to start tying into the – whole theme of the doctor and the pawns eventually being separated forever.
All right, before we jump into that,
yeah.
Before we jump into the smack you in the face foreshadowing, let's briefly touch on things that we think didn't work.
Sure.
I thought that, again, I'm going to pronounce it wrong,
Riddell, yeah.
John Riddell.
And this may have just been a sacrifice of time. Maybe he would have been better developed if he had his own episode, but I thought he was kind of a joke. I thought he was a little too over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really buy into his shtick, especially with the gun pumping and like the big game hunter thing.
Need a man with a bigger weapon.
You know, I agree. You know who I found to be much more of an interesting kind of momentary sidekick was it the FBI or the CIA agent from last season at the very beginning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought he would have been, his kind of character would have been really interesting here, but I guess they needed to fill that big game hunter role, and they just kind of made him super macho to offset.
I think that's partially like more of a Britishism. I think that's like some kind of self-effacing humor against like being British and sort of like this old-timey sort of conservative-y view of like what it meant to be British 120 years ago.
You know, it was kind of interesting. Is it reminds me of the Have you guys seen League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? At the very beginning of the movie, it kind of takes place. Yeah, it takes place like right around that same time frame, and it's It's just a dude in the middle of the African desert.
God, I hate you so much for bringing up the extremely ordinary. No, extraordinary gentleman.
You can tell.
Extremely ordinary gentleman.
That's you can podcast. Tell that there was like a message, like there yes. were undertones there as well, because yeah. he's like, surely you've heard of me too, and Amy's all like, uh-uh, you know, these you hunting defenseless animals, that doesn't mean diddly and blah blah blah.
Yep.
So okay, got it. Yeah, a little heavy-handed. You know, big game hunters suck. Whatever, we get it.
No, I don't even think it was that so much. Like big game hunters suck so much as it is just more like a saying. I think it actually goes a little bit deeper than that. I think it's more like the ways of the past for the British, for the British people aren't exactly the best of the ways to be going for, especially in a time right now when I think sort of politically. There's a lot of people leaning more conservative and stuff like that, and things are getting kind of nasty in Britain as well as over here. But I think, I think it's more of a almost more of a political statement or of a cultural statement. But it's I think by the end he kind of finds his moral mm-hmm. center mm-hmm. too.
Really? Because he pumps his because he pumps a gun. Well, no, he doesn't, does he? So the end I thought was kind of I don't know. I find it a little hard to And I hesitate saying this because it's Doctor Who, but I find it a little hard to believe, which is a phrase I shouldn't use with the show, but bear with me, that she would wind up with him in that desert, pumping that tranquilizer gun. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen everybody kind of split back up, go their own ways, and her being a little bit more of a wiser ruler back in Egypt or whatever. But
what I kind of took from that was that Nefertiti, the way she kind of refers to her own husband, she's just like, basically, at this point, she's just after a guy who is more fun, and like I didn't really get any romantic intonations from what.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible that it's just it's all time stuff, so it's all entirely possible she doesn't stay there very long anyway.
Yeah, I think they were just having some fun together. I think she just wanted I think she kind of enjoyed his ridiculousness a little bit, and I think that was the point of that was. It was just a fun little side story.
Did
it's a side story, yeah.
Did anybody catch the kind of tie-in to the Pond Life?
I had not miniseries? Seen Pond Life.
Oh, you haven't watched the Pond Life yet? So there's
you should watch Pond Life.
Yeah, it sets up the first episode extremely well, but it sets up this episode too.
Whole season.
Doesn't he meet Nefertiti in Pond Life and kind of talk about their adventures together?
Yeah, he references it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Like I said, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, like almost everything, basically what you're saying, some of the things that didn't work, for the most part, I think everything else seemed to work. It wasn't my favorite episode, not by a long shot, but it was fun and it was dark. I think, again, the only thing I would have loved to see happen would be Solomon somehow, survive. He might survive. He might very well survive. But I think he's such an interesting and compelling character that this can't possibly be the last we've seen of him. I think he's too interesting.
Maybe not. They kind of dispose of villains quite.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree for the most part that other stuff works. Mm-hmm. There was something else I wanted to bring up, but it's slipping my mind at the moment. If it comes back to me, I'll just randomly yell and interrupt Steven at some point in the near future. Yeah.
Well, how about
was that the beach? Was that the beach they film on where they always film, like where they film?
I think so.
And the Time of Angels and all
that. Yeah, I think so.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
That was nice. I enjoyed that as a long time fan.
But do we want to move on and give our scores here?
Yeah, let's do that. How about we start with Sean or Steven? Sean or Steven? Sean.
What are we calling? We decide on what we're gonna say. 1 out of 5.
1 out of 5 T Rexes. I like T Rexes.
1 out of 5 T Rexes for this episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Dolly, start us off.
I'm gonna go with 4 T Rexes. I think it was a lot of fun. There were a couple kind of hokey moments, but I think overall it was definitely a lot of fun. Great fun episode. It matched Asylum of the Daleks for me. I liked them both.
Yeah, Dolly, you should also make sure to track so we see where we are as we rate episodes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a good
story. What were you last week? Four and a half?
I think I was four. I think I was four. I think you were maybe between four and a half.
Yeah. Steven?
We're getting into half stars in this. That's some madness. Hey,
sometimes you got to go deep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wild I know about going deep with your stakes. I got to put them stakes deep. Life finds a way to put them stakes deep. No. Anyway, I'm going to give it 4 manly weapons. No, T-Rexes out of 5 as well. I think that the highs of Asylum of the Daleks hit higher, I think, like the
right.
creepiness,
yep.
the creep factor of that. But I thought that the lows also hit lower. And I think that this episode kind of overall smooths out to about the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I told mm-hmm. Sean earlier the week that I thought that Asylum of the Daleks was 4 out of 5. So I think that overall these two are about the same level of quality. I just think it's a fun adventure episode, and I think it's slightly more. It's going to play in slightly more. It's going to have a slightly more impact on the greater universe than we actually even think it will. But we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, we should talk about that next for sure.
Yeah,
I am in agreement. I am also on the 4 out of 5 T-Rex scale. I thought it was fun to see him put a gang together, even if it wasn't, you know, as satisfying or as fleshed out as, you know, character-wise as it could have been. But I think, again, I think Rory's dad really stole the show. I thought all the dynamics were great, and it was just fun. It was fun Doctor Who, and it felt like its own mini blockbuster, you know? It felt exactly what Moffat said it would feel like, with dinosaurs on a spaceship. It was a very intense villain, which I really enjoyed. And like you guys are saying, which we'll talk about next, I think that it's got a lot of potential. I think it's laying a lot of groundwork here for stuff that even some people may not even realize yet. And I think by now we've got a theme for our season, even if it's not going to be as important as, right, you know, right. the astronaut and everything from last year, or I should say as a parent, not as important. And I think that it's really set up a lot. So yeah, just like last week, I think the pros outweigh the cons, and I'm on the 4 out of 5 as well. 4 out of 5 T-Rexes. Roar.
Roar. Well, very cool. Very cool. Before we get into that, actually, you know what? Let's hop right into that. We'll take a look at our theories right now for the kind of where the whole season arc is going. So,
Sean, you should probably go first.
Yeah, Sean, you just spoke last, so we'll let you go first. Ladies first.
So keep talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever has the smallest weapon goes first.
Oh, my Lord. Speaking of weapons, that was a great link you sent over. That half Dalek, half Cyberman gun. I'm gonna put it in in our show notes.
I don't know, Dali. It was 1/3 Cyberman, 1/3 Dalek, and 1/3 angels, weeping angels.
Oh, true. Yeah.
That thing I'll is insane.
Stupid. I love it.
We should probably put a massive spoiler alert, because if that does wind up playing back into the show in any way, people are gonna be furious. We're talking about that right now.
The QLA. That's what it's called. The QLA. All right, continue. Sorry, Sean. Sorry, you were.
No, it's okay. I'm. In all seriousness, though, if that plays into the show, we talked about that and ruined that for people, they're going to be pissed.
Well, I mean, BBC ruined it for them. All these people have to do is look on Amazon.
Yeah. That doesn't mean they need us pointing them there. Okay, so anyway. So, I really wish I had thought about these theories more before. Huh. Okay, I'll wing it. So, I think that it's very interesting that last week we get the Dalek hive mind or neural net mm-hmm. or Borg, whatever it is now. Completely forgetting about the Doctor. You know, 900, 1,200 years of hatred gone in about 10 seconds. Fascinating, to the point where he's so happy about it, he's dancing and questioning Doctor Who. And now, even more intriguing, I would argue that it's even more intriguing than the Daleks, is this guy with his universal scanner, which doesn't pick up the Doctor, doesn't pick up the TARDIS, has no recognition whatsoever of our favorite Time Lord at all. Now, how is that possible? That's what I want to know. How is it possible where I get it, like, and it's kind of a stretch when you're a time traveler that, oh, you know, he's dead, everybody thinks he's gone, whatever. That's fine. I get that people think he's dead. Why would that wipe out everything he did before that? Why would that wipe out all knowledge of Time Lords and TARDISes and the Doctor and everything? That doesn't make sense. Is somebody wiping mainframes? Is somebody getting rid of any trace of him? Is he getting rid of any trace of him?
Do we know of anybody who can hack into and wipe mainframes? Do we know of anybody?
But even if we did, I mean, what?
Sean, we do.
We do. That was the hint. We do.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is what purpose does it serve at this sure. point from people thinking you're dead to thinking you're completely forgotten about? So there's our theme. Doctor Who, which obviously we saw at the end of season 6, but it's playing up in a very interesting way because it's not just being dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just, okay, he's gone, we can do whatever we want. It's as if he never existed at all.
Let me hop in here because
And I think there's a lot of consequence that we're going to see there. Not to cut you off, Doctor.
Oh, sure.
I think you're going to piggyback on what I'm saying. But I think there's going to be some serious consequences there, and some interesting chatter I've seen is, you know, we've got a doctor now who is a lot
more vengeful than we were used to the past couple seasons, you know? And if we hearken back to the Tenet days where Donna showed up for the very first time and she basically said, listen, you're done. Like, stop. You need somebody to keep you in check. Because he was getting kind of crazy. And then flash forward to Waters of Mars where he's like the Time Lord, you know,
victorious.
Ever victorious. And we got these flashes of, okay, he's traveling too long and he's, you know, he's doing all this stuff. What is happening to our boy here? You know, what has happened either in the past 200 years or even now where these changes are starting to happen? Like, he blew up that ship. He didn't give the guy a chance for anything else. There was no chance for forgiveness, for redemption, for anything. He knew what he was doing, and he set that ship to just blow up. That's huge for Matt Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a 180 from everything we've ever seen him do. And I think, I don't know if you guys have seen the previews, but I think we're going to see that big time next week too, you know? And in Legion Wonder, is something happening to his mind? Is he forgetting who he is? You know, are we seeing a doctor who, when the time comes and the question that if things get answered, the whole universe is going to die or whatever they said at the end of season 6, where he doesn't know who he is? That's what I ponder. This question, I think, is even bigger.
That's what you ponder?
Ponder? Hmm? I thought that too, Dally. High five.
High five.
Oh, I'm just going to have a stroke. But no, in all seriousness, I think that the question is absolutely there in every episode, and I think it's even bigger than we realized at the end of season 6, which is no small feat because that was the biggest thing they ended season 6 on. And I don't know. I think it's fascinating that they went from just thinking he's dead to now forgetting about him. And and like I said to you, Dolly, last week, I think we're going to see a lot of play. Like, we're going to see a lot of play. We're going to see a lot of consequences of the fact that this hero doesn't exist anymore. And what happens when you remove yourself completely? And I think that's going to be a big, big, big thing. Either, you know, at the second half of this season or the 50th anniversary, especially.
Sure.
I think that's going to play huge. So, I'm sorry, I talked a lot. You guys,
yeah.
Well, I'm just copy print. Copy. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm. I definitely think that things are getting darker for the Doctor, and I think I definitely kind of key into that whole idea that somebody is, and I think this arc is going to be all throughout the season and maybe even in the next season, and it may have started in last season, but the idea of the Doctor's past being erased, right? So last year, the big question at the end of the season was Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Who is his Doctor? Doctor Who. What's his real name? That's the big question that can't be answered. So this season, we get right into that question. Who is this Doctor? Well, we don't know because his past is being erased. All traces of him are being erased. It kind of reminds me of that very first episode of the Christopher Eccleston seasons where Rose finds traces of the Doctor everywhere on the internet. Someone's been, you know, there's a whole society of people that have been tracking him everywhere, seeing him showing up in photographs and so forth. This season, it starts off with the Doctor being erased from all of that, especially these first two episodes. Last week, they erased him from the Daleks mindset. This season, or this week, they erased him from, all kinds of factual history, right? I think this one takes place in 2300s, so...
We know, pick up a TARDIS. That drives me insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And so something must be changed, either erasing the past or changing the past. And I think it could be one of those two things that's happening right now with the Doctor. So this whole idea of kind of getting rid of the Doctor's past and almost becoming a new Doctor without without an actual, you know, transmogrification, without an actual change into new skin. This is going to be a new-ish Doctor, and I think it's all gonna. It all leads to these hints that we've been seeing from Pond Life from last week and from this week with the Ponds telling the Doctor, give us our space. You can't fix everything. We don't need you. Even though at one point in Pond Life, I think that last episode of Pond Life, Amy even says, "Where are you, Raggedy Man? I need you." I think they've come to realize that. The Doctor can only fix certain things. He can't fix emotion. He can fix... We talked about this last week. He can fix these great big world-changing events, but can't get it down to the most basic of human emotions, you know, love, that kind of thing. So, and you saw it last season with the whole River Song stuff, the Doctor's being completely new to all of this. But I think everything's going to kind of come to a head where the Doctor is, his past is kind of being erased of who he was, this great big giant world saving, everything saving person, who's helped his companions along all this time. I really think it's all going to hit to a head over in the Christmas episode where, I think that's when the Amy and Rory, or right around that time frame where Amy and Rory leave the show.
They're gone at the end of this season before the Christmas special.
Yeah, they're gone at the end of this first half of the season, right? So I think that's going to have a huge part of that whole thing because they don't need him anymore. It's almost like, here's my theory, ready? He's going to have disappeared completely from their life, like to the point where he never existed for them. Kind of like what happened with Rose in one aspect, but he'll never have... I'm sorry, not Rose.
Donna.
Kind of like the whole Donna syndrome, where in this case, he will never have existed. They'll have found their own path, and he can't keep trying to fix their lives. I think all of this starts to weave that story back and forth. So,
okay. Well, since you guys talked for 5 hours each, I'm just going to...
Usually you're the one that talks for 5 hours. Hey, yeah,
we stole your bits.
Yeah, we're getting another transmission.
My shtick. No, fuck you, Dally. No, okay, so I'm just going to basically just take everything that you guys have said for granted, and I'm just going to go ahead and drop a couple of things. I think we're missing some very... I think we're ignoring some very, very basic, very, very obvious things here. Like, A, we still don't know what caused the TARDIS to explode in Season 5, and I do not think that they're going to leave that...
God, I hope not. Good call, dude.
I don't think that they're going to leave that unfulfilled before, or at least until after Amy and Rory are gone. I think that's going to get answered before Amy and Rory leave, so I think we're going to get that before the mid-season break. The voice that talks through the crack in the wall at the end of Season 5 as well, I think we're going to figure out what's going on there, and I think that whatever that was, whatever caused the TARDIS to explode and whatever that voice was, I think that's going to be a major, major player this season, because I don't think that they would leave the Amy, Rory... I don't think they would get rid of Amy and Rory without tying that up first, because I think that's deeply connected to them. I think there's still something wrong about Amy, and possibly even Rory. Yeah, well, and the other thing too is Rory. We saw those like rumors about Rory, you know, spoilers if this turns out to be true, about Rory being the Master, a new regeneration of the Master. There was a bunch
no
of
chance.
There was a bunch.
I love that idea too much for it to ever happen.
And by exactly.
By that, I mean I hate it.
You know, we should do an episode that's just all these crazy theories about Dr.
We should. We should, stick around when we have that break where we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Because this show's not on TV.
No.
The Doctor Who Conspiracy Theories episode. That'd be great.
I'm going to put a pin on this because I want to ask you something, Stephen, but I want you to finish too.
Go ahead. No, you go, no, you just... go ahead first. I'll finish after you're done.
Well, no. You're pulling a lot of good stuff back. And this is exactly what I feel like. All of our theories are going to blend together, and we're all going to be kind of partially right. And then at the end, we're all going to think we were all right, and it's going to be awesome because, you know, Moffat and who and whatever.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree.
So, do you think, are we in agreement that the silence are still at play here?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, just from my personal standpoint, I think that the silence were even in the first episode. Every time that the humanoid Daleks showed up in the last episode, the lights began to flicker and people kind of looked around, and then the camera would cut away before you saw whatever it was that they saw going on. I think the silence have been involved from the very first episode of this season, and we just haven't seen them yet. And I think there will be some kind of flashbacks explaining all of that stuff, especially since the silence showed up last season. You know, I mean, obviously they showed up last season, but they had some appearances last season that, or at least some people theorize that they have some appearances because different people looked off of screen at
library from a couple seasons back.
Oh yeah, and that was a Moffat episode too,
yep,
wasn't it?
Yep.
If it ties into River Song, which ties back into the silence. Like, I think that especially leading up to the 50th anniversary, I think what we're going to really run into is a lot of threads from even years ago being tied up together. I think it'll involve the silence. I think it may involve the Master. I think it'll
you know,
involve.
I think you're onto something really strong there. That 50th anniversary edition, or that 50th anniversary, might just be a massive reset on Doctor Who, because there are so many threads, so many loose ends going around right now, that it's almost like they have to kind of put the stake, there's a stake, put the stake in the ground and say, everything that happened before this is now completely tied up in a bow. Here it is, done.
You know, starting as much as we
scratch.
Can.
As much as we can, we start from scratch, all brand new on the, with the 50th.
Yeah, I think
wouldn't
I think
surprise me.
I think I definitely think the Silence are in play. I think they've been in play more than we even realize thus far. And
it
I think
make
that
sense
they will,
why everybody's forgetting. I mean,
forgetting the Doctor. Yeah,
forgetting the Doctor, forgetting a TARDIS, forgetting it.
And also remember that the cracks, you know, the TARDIS exploding, the cracks in time erased, you know, they erased people from the time stream, much like I think was happening to the Doctor in a much slower pace, too. So I think that might tie into whatever caused the TARDIS to explode in the first place, might have something to do with the Doctor. I think the Doctor's disappearance from records and stuff may be more of a, you know, more symptomatic of something bigger that's going on. I think maybe he's being slowly erased from time himself, possibly. And that has something to do with the cracks in the wall or the Silence or both. And, if that master thing turns out to be true, that would be pretty great.
I don't know. I think that's the one thing in this theory that you and I disagree on, but
no,
I mean,
I'm not saying
fun.
That it would. I'm saying that it's a possibility. I'm not saying that it's
right.
a probability.
No. I mean, I don't know if we agree that it would be great.
Oh, you don't think it would be great.
I don't know. I have to mull that over. I feel like that would be kind of, that would almost be too insane, if that makes sense.
I think I love it when the show gets insane.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I think the cracks have been dealt with. I think that's done.
But
I think
the cracks
that
were from
still,
the explosion, but we don't know
I think
what caused
we still
the explosion.
Don't know what caused the explosion, and I think that's huge. We don't know what brought together. I mean, technically speaking, we know what brought together, but we still don't understand why all of these enemies of the Doctor who would kill each other on sight wound up joining an alliance. We have no idea what convinced them to do that.
That's happened in the past, though, hasn't it?
Rat,
the
space,
Dalek and
no.
the Cybermen kind of came together.
Remember, they fight all the time. I think that there's a mastermind behind all of this that is caused the TARDIS to explode, caused all those disparate forces to come together against the Doctor, that are erasing, helping to erase the Doctor from history, that got the Silence and the Church to come after the Doctor in the first place, because there's clearly, I think that there's going to be one overriding big enemy that has been in Doctor Who since possibly even season 4, going back as far as River Song.
Wait a minute, I'm getting a phone call, there's another theory coming in here.
Oh god.
Dalek Boar, what's your theory? Who did it?
I think it was the Slitheen.
The Slitheen?
Motherfucker.
What?
Large and fat and sweaty and they fart. Yep, it must have been the Slitheen.
Okay, so the Slitheen, I guess.
That seems like good reason enough. But I think I think of the people that it could possibly be, I think that the Master definitely fits the bill. Or maybe not the Master, maybe a different Time Lord. Like if Rory turned out to be, instead
failure.
Of the Master, what if he turned out to be the Ranai or something like that?
Well, then, I mean, you had those great Time Lords that almost came to rule over rule over time and space and the universe, only to be put in their place at the very last second by David Tennant's Doctor.
Yeah. What if something slipped through? What if something slipped through on, you know, from Gallifrey at the last minute? Mm-hmm. Maybe there is some kind of, you know, be it the Master or be it the, you know what, if Rory turned out to be the Ranai, which was a female which was a woman in the earlier shows, but that would
out there.
I know.
Like,
way
like,
too
I'm
much Doctor
crazy
Who
with
history.
But
that's
crazy. But it would also, if they did that, it would also create the, it would finally canonize the idea of the Doctor being able to switch genders between generations, which would set them up for a female Doctor in the future.
Mm. Probably doesn't help that Moffat's on the record saying he hates that character. So.
The Ranai?
Uh-huh.
But this is also Moffat we're talking about, though, too, who also is on the record as hating spoilers, so that might be a red herring by itself.
Yeah, he is kind of a liar. Would it be... Would it be out of the realm of possibility where we've got a Doctor who, in an attempt to save the universe, has completely forgotten himself, and in order to remember himself, has to revisit his own timeline? Mm. All of a sudden, you've got 11 visiting 10, visiting 9 in an ideal world, suddenly
you
going back in
showing
and,
up.
Either jumping into to old scenes or having, you know, actors play the same parts or, you know, lookalikes play the parts.
Suddenly, you've got a whole reason to bring 11 around to everybody
sure.
out there.
That
and
would
boom.
Be pretty brilliant, actually. Boom. There's your 50th episode, 50th
Pow.
Anniversary.
50th
yeah.
anniversary.
Bring in Paul McGann and Tom Baker and Christopher Eccleston. That I mean, that would be great if it was a if the, you seeing all of the doctors come together. That's the you know maybe the whole talk about I've never had a gang before. Maybe that's foreshadowing of him bringing together a real gang of doctors to face off whatever this like whatever this gestalt enemy is that I think that is out there somewhere. There's this I think there is a pro, like there I think there's a head to this
well,
snake, you know.
It's like I said the end of last season, I was disappointed in the silence. I thought they were really underused. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you guys
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Our really big breakdown of the season, but we you know, I said straight up I thought that they had this amazing potential. They could have easily supplemented themselves as the top three or supplanted themselves, rather, as a top three villain in all of Pooh history, easily. And instead, they were just completely nerfed, you know?
I don't think they got nerfed exactly, but I just don't think they used them much.
Oh, I was super – so far. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm trying to say, is I was super let down. But if we – you know, if Steven winds up being right or any of our theories wind up being right, Silence come back bigger, better, wind up erasing the Doctor's history or his own mind or whatever – okay, I'm back on board. I'm back on board with
yeah,
that. I'll forgive the exploding TARDIS not being solved yet. I'll forgive all the lingering stuff. If he wants just to pull this stuff together in the next 12 months or, you know, the next couple seasons or the next season and specials, then you know what? 100% on board. 100%.
Man, Dally, your callback to Silence in the Library, like, shit. If they actually go back to season 4 and – you know, I mean, that would give him a great excuse to go back and meet David Tennant's doctor again.
Well,
know?
I mean, that's
like,
where we met River Song, right? I mean, that's where
exactly.
all of this lot, or the majority of season 5 and 6, and
imagine finding out that Tennant had interacted with Smith, and they fought the Silence together. But then Tennant and Smith
Ooh,
never remembered
yeah.
it because they fought the Silence together.
Oh Lord.
And that we it, like it all happens, but no, neither one of them knows about it, and that's why we never knew about it because they fought the Silence. Like this stuff is awesome. The potential here is fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be. I mean, there's all kinds of like.
You know,
we should save some of this for the conspiracy episode. But yeah, we'll. I mean, we got to see how.
You know what,
things
guys?
Shake out.
It's just it. There's so much. I mean, there's so much time to think about this, and it's going to
yeah,
take place so
let's
far
see
into the future.
Three episodes go. I mean, we've got a lot coming up. We've got.
Let's focus
I mean,
on
Andy
next
Bury,
week's episode. How about we do that?
The
let's Andy focus Bury on
stuff alone
yeah.
in the future. Yeah, next week. So
let's just get into next week's episodes, which is called.
Yeah, talk about the town called Mercy.
Right. Have you guys watched the trailer? I'll post a trailer in the.
I have.
Curse me!
Unfortunately, my friends, I have to run.
Sure,
to run.
Sure.
Okay.
But I won't be around for this part. But it's supposed to be a brilliant episode. People
no,
are
we're
really
we're shutting down right
my
now,
house.
Anyways. We're shutting down right now, anyways. So.
No, it's okay. If you want to talk about it, I'm very excited about it. It's probably the second most. I don't know. I'm very excited about it behind the actual picture of the ponds and the
sure.
you know the Angels Take Manhattan or whatever it is. Yes, no, it's supposed to be really good. I'm literally looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing how all these things pan out and our theories moving forward. I have to run. If you guys want
all
to
right.
keep discussing it, it's been an absolute
Sean,
pleasure.
Sean, where can we find you, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
Beautiful.
That's easily the best way to get in touch with me. And eventually, when we have a fancy little website,
yep.
You'll be able to find us there too.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Jens, talk to you soon.
All right.
Love you, Sean. So, Dally, I'm thinking since Sean is gone, we maybe just give a brief kind of preview of the next episode and what
yes.
we're going to talk about, and just we wrap this sucker up.
Do you want to give that the preview, or do you want me to go ahead and do it?
I can do a preview.
All right, let's do it. I'll let you do it.
So we've got the next episode coming up here. It's called A Town Called Mercy. We're going back to America, which we haven't been to. Not in the, you know, in the regular America that we know of, kind of since season one, the very beginning of season one. We're going to a town called Mercy.
We went last season.
That's
at the
what
very
I'm
beginning.
At the very. That's
you
what
said
I just
season
said.
One. You said season one.
Oh, I meant last season, not season
yeah,
one.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so they're going to a literal town called Mercy that is being under attack. That is under attack by some kind of cyborg cowboy called the Gunslinger, I think is what they refer to him as. And it is an episode written by Toby Whitehouse, who
mm-hmm.
wrote last season's episode, The God Complex,
which
was
a fantastic episode,
absolutely
brilliant.
Amazing. I botched the description of it on that episode with Sydney and Justin, unfortunately, but I thought it was a great episode. He's also the maker of the original British version of Being Human.
Yep.
And I actually just found this out tonight. He did the episode School Reunion back all the way back in season 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
with which reintroduced Sarah Jane into mm-hmm. Doctor Who. So it's probably going to be a very, very great episode. The guy has a great track record. I love the Old West. I love cyborgs. I grew up on, you know, the Man with No Name movies, and seeing the Doctor take that and, you know, go against a cyborg gunslinger in true Doctor Who fashion back in the past. Yeah, definitely.
You know what's,
I'm excited.
You know what's interesting is that it's all the previews, and there's some people have already seen it. There's some reviews floating around, but everybody is saying how dark this episode is and how it's, you know, it from first shot, it looks like the Wild Wild West minus Will Smith, but it's and here's a quote from Den of Geek. All right, this is from Den of Geek, and this is what really gets me excited about this episode. And this is a slightly darker beast, too. After the comparable lightness of dinosaurs on a spaceship, a tongue called Mercy pushes the Doctor to more uncomfortable, emotional places than we've seen this series thus far. The cracks and strain in the Doctor are starting to show. It's
oh, that ties back into Sean's psychological issues, the Doctor problem, forgetting who he is, kind of thing.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited about it.
I could not be. I love the Old West, Dally. Oh, man.
It's Back to the Future Part 3.
Yeah, Back to the Future Part 3 with like an evil cyborg with a Mega Man gun for my hand. I'm okay with this.
Yes.
It almost seems like a Twilight Zone episode, just the mm-hmm. idea of like that sort of going back into the Old West and introducing some big bad technology. Yeah. I like that. Anyway, yeah, I think that wraps up our show tonight.
Yeah, where can we find you, Stephen?
You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Strom, StevenStrom, and you can also find me on sidequesting.com, which is where we post these website that we're based out of.
Until we transition everything to LonelyTardis.com. You can find me at Coolrats, KEWLRATS. Please follow us on Twitter at Lonely TARDIS, which is as simple as it sounds.
Get all of your Lonely TARDIS trivia and updates, and you can ask questions on there.
And we've been having a fun and goofy time. Yeah, definitely. We do ask a lot of questions on there, and people who answer will be getting read on the podcast in upcoming episodes here. So
as soon as we get our shit together.
As soon as we get our shit together.
Don't worry if your question doesn't get asked immediately. We'll try to get to everybody.
Yeah. And I'll have the email address set up here shortly. Reset up shortly on the new email address, new website. And while you're finding us on iTunes, it's really important. Please rate us on iTunes. I know I've actually been seeing our ratings been going up. More people are reviewing it. Please, if you could review and rate us, you know, just tell us what you think. I think
it keeps us on the top of the iTunes list, and then more people listen, and then more people talk about it. And the more people that listen and talk about it, the more we can keep doing this stuff and keep giving you guys podcasts where we talk about Doctor Who.
I think we are actually the number one rated Doctor Who podcast that takes place at random hours via Skype with three guys from all different parts of the U.S. That also like to play video games, and one of the guys designs cars. I think in that category, we're number one.
Mm-hmm. Our key demographic, which is also us.
Yes.
Our key demographic is us three who are on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody.
But we're going to try and have some more guests on the show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're going to have more guests as the time goes on. Definitely, we're already lining some stuff up right now. There's a lot of folks that have expressed interest in being on the show. And we'll take it from there. We're going to get you some surprises. Hopefully, we'll actually get some of these interviews that we've been trying to get for a while now. But we'll see where we can go with those. Anyways, for now, we will let you off the hook. Thank you for listening. It's been a fun episode.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you're a little bit less lonely now that you've listened to the Lonely TARDIS. You're not alone out there.
All right, everybody. Take care.